is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Good morning. It's 7:06. You're listening to Katie Hyde from the Michigan Talk Network, filling in for Steve Gruber all this week. And this week has gone by pretty quickly. Those early morning hours, all the news we've had to sift through, it's been a good ride. I'm having a great time here. This hour is brought to you by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. And as always, we want to hear from you. We have a couple of things coming up in this segment. Some dealing with some state news here and then some national news. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that. And you can always give us a call, 888-900-9966. Again, our number here is 888-900-9966. And this is what's going on overnight. I told you that quite a bit happened while we were all trying to get some sleep. And I pulled this up off MLive. The headline is Michigan senators locked in a chamber pass a bill to eliminate straight ticket voting. A bill to eliminate straight ticket voting in Michigan passed the Senate late Wednesday night with high drama and without a companion bill that would have expanded absentee voting options. Senate Bill 13 would take the straight ticket option off Michigan ballots. The legislation had passed the Senate last month, but it did hit a hurdle in the House Elections Committee, where Democrats raised concerns that the change would translate into more time filling out ballots or longer lines and disenfranchising some voters. The House Elections Committee Chair Lisa Lyons, she's a Republican from Alto, tie-barred it to another House bill, a bill that she sponsored that would allow somebody to request an absentee ballot in person without having to provide one of the reasons allowed under current state law. A tie bar in legislative terms means that neither bill could go into effect unless the other one was also enacted. So it's just tying it together there. The Senate, however, was intent on considering the bills separately, and Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekoff said that the Senate planned to break the tie bar and move the Senate Bill 13 along on its own, which is exactly what happened Wednesday evening with approval of an amendment from another senator, David Robertson from Grand Blanc. Republicans paved the way for the bill's passage using some rare Senate procedure. They cleared the floor of all staff except the Senate majority leaders, leaving Democratic senators without any staff members. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. I'll say that again. They cleared the floor, all the staff except the Senate majority leaders, leaving Democratic senators without any staff members. Republicans also instituted a call of the Senate, meaning senators could not leave the chamber under threat of arrest. Senator Mike Kowal of White Lake also moved to consider a group of Democratic amendments to add to the bill. And as a result, seven Democratic amendments were not debated or voted on individually. Senator Curtis Hurdle, a Democrat from Lansing, said it was ironic that Republicans took a straight ticket approach to the Democratic amendments instead of addressing them individually. And his words were, I guess you guys get a straight ticket. So that's fun. Merry Christmas to the rest of us in the state. I'm curious what you think about that. Now, there have been people on both sides debating this issue of a straight ticket. And for me, I don't like to go in there and assume that I have to vote for that straight ticket. I was always taught to vote on someone based on their qualifications. Is what they're planning on doing when they get elected into office, does that line up with my values? Is that represented in the area where I live? And so I like to be able to go through and vote for them individually. That's part of the privilege of the process. I don't just like to check one thing off and be done and on my way. I don't think that any of us should be voting on a person just because of a political party. You know, hey, I was raised Republican, so I always vote Republican, or I was raised Democrat, so that's what I'm going to do. There needs to be more critical thinking involved in our process. And if that's all we're doing, then there might be a problem. Or to just say, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. That is not good reasoning. Just like you wouldn't say, I'm voting for Carly Fiorina for president because she's a woman. What do they bring to the table that makes them qualified candidates? I guess that's my rant for this morning. Or I'm going to vote for somebody because they're my race. Well, that's all well and good. But what else can they bring to the area where you live? How do they represent your constituency? So those are just some thoughts and a rant for this morning. Moving to national news, we're going to hear from Senator Bernie Sanders. If you want to get your blood boiling today, right? We'll listen to Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. He joined members of three faiths, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, around a table at a mosque in Washington on Wednesday to discuss racial and religious tensions in national politics and the national mood in general. The roundtable was scheduled in response to the mass shootings in San Bernardino, California, and made more fervent by calls led by Donald Trump for a complete shutdown in immigration by foreign Muslims. Let's hear from Bernie Sanders.
With all of the fears and anxieties that people have about terrorism and about the economy, there are demagogues out there, people like Donald Trump, who once again are attempting to divide us up in xenophobic and racist ways. They want us to believe that people from Mexico coming into this country are rapists and criminals. They want us to believe that the average Muslim is a terrorist. And they want us to stop Muslims from coming into this country. And unbelievably, in defiance of the basic tenets of our Constitution, there are some who are even talking about shutting down mosques like the one we are in. And I should say, since Trump's incendiary comments, we have seen in this country, shamefully, an increase in hate speech and attacks on the Muslim American community, including death threats. It is time to say enough is enough. It is time to end religious bigotry. It is time to build a nation in which we all stand together, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, all religions, and work to create a nation that benefits all of us. So today I am calling on all of us in public life, including my fellow candidates for president, and all Americans, to stand together and condemn the anti-Muslim rhetoric and hatred that we are hearing, to say no to those who promote this hatred, and to make certain that we create an America that works for all of us, regardless of our religion or the color of our skins.
That's Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. He joined members of three faiths yesterday. Those faiths are Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. He met at a mosque to discuss the racial and religious tensions in our nation. And that's what we were hearing from him. And obviously, he has one point of view. Donald Trump on the other side calling for a pause on Muslims traveling to and from this country. And so both sides of the political spectrum considering these issues that are obviously affecting our nation in a great way. Keep it here on The Steve Gruber Show. It's 17 after the hour. I'm Katie Hyde, filling in for Steve Gruber on his show, The Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show, American values with Midwestern common sense.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Are you feeling groovy this morning? This is Katie Hyde from the Michigan Talk Network filling in for Steve Gruber all this week on his show. This hour is brought to you by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. And as always, we want to hear from you. Our number here is 888-900-9966. Again, that's 888-900-9966. 66. And we're looking forward later on in the show to have Rick Ector here. He is a firearms trainer, a supporter of the National Rifle Association, and he also teaches a variety of gun training and concealed weapons carries classes. And I'm interested in talking to him. I was in the studio last week, actually, with Steve, kind of hanging out and just kind of getting my bearings for the show. And Rick had called in and we were chatting. And I am going to be going through some concealed weapons and some weapons training courses here very, very shortly. And one of the things that I have and that I had mentioned with Rick before is that I come from a family of gun owners. I come from a family of hunters. And so that's always been a part of my culture. And I have never had a problem with that. And I've never had a problem with hunting. It's just not something that I wanted to spend my time doing. It seemed boring, but that's just me. But I have no problem with it. And then we've had these world events and I have just never felt the need to have a gun. And I have always supported Second Amendment rights. And I am glad that we live in a country with that. But personally, I just never felt that I needed that. And then I became a mom and started looking at our world. And now I feel like here we are at the end of 2015. We have had more terrorist attacks than I care to mention. We've seen the events happen in Paris. And I'm just thinking now might be the time to hop in a class and get concealed carry and stand behind my Second Amendment rights and move forward with that. And I'm curious what you're thinking, because this is the conversation within my circle of friends. I'm obviously friends with a lot of women, and a lot of them are moms. And we, of course, are concerned with the safety of our children. And so one of the big things that comes up is that if I have a gun in the house, I am worried that my kid is going to get access to this. And then by proxy, we're going to be less safe in the house because of this gun. And I have read enough statistics that indicate that if you are trained yourself on how to use that weapon and you train your kids to be careful around that weapon, it's not going to be this thing that entices them. It's going to be something that's serious that only mom and dad can touch, or only that people that are trained can touch that weapon. If you do that correctly. So I think that that is a fear that can be alleviated. If you have the right training and you teach your kids that respect of that weapon, that is not going to be a problem. The other thing that I hear in my circle of friends and my coworkers is that only in America do we hear this conversation come up where we solve our gun problem with guns. And I hear this from my friends who grew up in other countries and come here. And I want to know what you think. I mean, I know what I see. If you are a sitting duck at your school or in your workplace and you have a gunman come in there, they are not going to respond to logic. They are not going to respond to calm talking. They are going to respond to somebody else who are dosing out the same kind of vengeance that they are bringing in there. That just makes sense. And I think this is a conversation that we need to keep having in our country, because we are in a different era. We are in an era where, unfortunately, we have to have conversations about how we keep our kids safe when they head off to school. We have to have conversations about how to keep our kids and others safe when they're playing in front of their yard, or they're going to church, or they're Christmas shopping in the mall, or they're going grocery shopping. These are the kinds of conversations that we need to have. And in an imperfect world, is having a gun going to be part of the solution? And those of you that are on the fence about, I don't know whether to get one, I don't know whether to go through the training, I don't know how I feel about it, it just feels weird. We want to hear from those of you that have guns that are behind the Second Amendment and what you have to say about that. 888-900-9966. We would love to have you as a part of this conversation. We're going to head to some other national news right now. I'm going to bring up my notes. My computer is being very slow today. Does your computer ever get like that, a little sluggish? I have to yell at it every once in a while. It doesn't respond, but I feel better yelling at it. We're going to go hear what Donald Trump has to say. The Republican presidential candidate pushed for building a border wall and preserving the Second Amendment at a campaign rally in Mesa, Arizona, one day after he debated the other candidates in Las Vegas. And Alex, that is clip 7. Let's hear from Donald Trump.
We're going to build a wall, and Mexico is going to pay for the wall. They're going to pay for it. And I love Mexico, and I love the Mexican people, and I have thousands of them that work for me, and they're incredible workers with incredible spirit, and they love me. And I'll tell you what, in the state of Nevada, they recently did a poll, and I'm leading with the Hispanics. And everyone's saying, oh, that's because I'm going to produce jobs. We're going to take back trade. We're going to take back jobs. And you know what? China's going to like us better than before. And people say, what are we going to do? Because I get along with people, believe it or not. In fact, they say, you get along with Democrats. That's terrible. I said, I'm a world-class business guy. I have to get along with everybody. I get along with everybody. That's my job. Second Amendment has to be preserved and strengthened, but it has to be preserved. We cannot let them take that away from us.
Alex, we're going to stop the clip there. And Donald Trump, obviously, he's always great for a soundbite. He's always great for spurring on these conversations. We need to be having these kinds of conversations with our neighbors and the people we go to school with and work with. We need to have these conversations. He's always a good one to stir the pot, though, right? Give you something to talk about. You're listening to Katie Hyde from the Michigan Talk Network. I'm filling in all this week for Steve Gruber on The Steve Gruber Show. It's 7:25.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Good morning, it's 7:33. This is Katie Hyde filling in on the Steve Gruber Show. It's great to have you with us. And with me on the line is Ronna Romney McDaniel. She's the Michigan GOP chair. Good morning, Ronna.
Good morning, Katie. Great to be here.
Great to have you. Now, I'm curious what your initial thoughts are of Tuesday's debate.
I thought all of our candidates presented very well. I felt like other debates, there have been a few standouts that have been obvious, and I felt like everybody showed well. I thought they had a grasp of the importance of national security. They understood the issue. They had much better plans on how to attack ISIS than our current president and certainly Hillary Clinton. So I gave the debate overall an A grade, and it was nice to not be talking about the debate moderators after the fact. CNN did a good job.
Yes, isn't that refreshing?
I know.
I was particularly impressed. I always am with Carly Fiorina. I wish she would have spoken more. I was saying the other day on the show, I wish more people would have gone after her because by the rules of the debate, then she can jump in. But she talked a lot about the private sector working with the government in terms of technology to help bring down the terrorists. What were your thoughts when she discussed that?
Well, it does show the contrast between the way Republicans solve problems right now and Democrats. And a lot of the Democrat solutions fall in expanding government. Let's have the government take on more responsibility, which, of course, we know creates bureaucracy and makes it more cumbersome and less likely, actually, to solve a problem. And so Carly's grasp of the private sector and its important role in solving problems and a key part of our economy, which is a market system, let competition be part of the system, will be more successful that way. I think that's a Republican principle that many agree with.
Many people had said that Rand Paul had a nice debate that night, and I happened to interview him when we were all up in Mackinac a couple months ago for the leadership conference. And I asked him, I said, you know, Michigan tends to be a Democrat state when they vote. He mentioned that he'd like to bring some jobs to Detroit, and that's how he wants to entice voters here. Who else on that stage do you think would represent Michigan well?
Well, I certainly think anybody who comes to Michigan is going to have a better shot. We've had 27 of our Republican candidates in Michigan since I've been chair. That lays a ground game for the general, for all of them to be investing that much time. And certainly as they come through our state, I talk to them about being here for the general and competing. And it does make them better suited to understand our state and what's happening, what our citizens are concerned about. And each of these candidates are coming here for town hall meetings, getting to know the voters, as opposed to Hillary Clinton, who's come here one time for a 500,000 fundraiser and no grassroots event. So I think that's the key, is being investing in Michigan. Michiganders recognize that. They appreciate people who are going to spend time in our state.
Did you see anybody else on the stage? I mentioned Carly Fiorina before. I wish I would have heard more from her. But anybody else that you wish you could have heard more from that you think has a lot to say or a lot to give Michigan voters?
Well, I do think the undercard debate was really good, actually, with Lindsey Graham and Huckabee and Santorum and Pataki. I think all of our candidates are doing a great job articulating their message, especially on national security, which is on the forefront of everybody's minds right now. The one thing I would say is it's important to watch these debates because, unlike the Democrats right now, we do have a difference on between our candidates on how to handle national security. They do have different plans. And voters should turn in and make sure that they're going to nominate somebody who aligns more closely with them. But I appreciate that they have a dialogue. I appreciate that we have differences of opinion within our party. I think that actually makes us govern better in the end.
Rana, I'm a journalist by trade, so I'm trying to hold back a little bit, but I might play my political commentator card right now. I slap my head a little bit sometimes when I look at who the Democrats are offering up, and I'll hear people get behind Hillary or Bernie, and I'm like, really? Are you serious? Like, these are the folks you can get behind? Does this make you chuckle, too, or am I just the only one?
Well, obviously, I'm not supporting them, but it's because of their policies. I mean, Hillary Clinton now has a record that we can look at. She just gave the president an A on his administration and his policies. That is horrific. President Obama has done nothing to make our country safer, more stable, more successful. He's done nothing to lift people out of poverty. We have 1 in 6 people right now in poverty. This has been a failure on every level. And for him to give him an A shows just how frightening she could be if she were our commander-in-chief. And, of course, one of the things that I hear about all the time, especially when I talk to young kids, is they're sick of the division. They're sick of the divisiveness. And when has Hillary Clinton ever united people? Has she ever brought people together? She said her enemy she's most proud of making is Republicans. I think that's frightening for a commander-in-chief to not be able to work across the aisle when we have huge issues that we have to tackle as a country, entitlement reform, tax reform, immigration reform, obviously national security. And to have a president going in saying that she basically can't stand the other party, I don't think that's leadership at all.
So we have ISIS trying to bring us down, a serious national threat, and she's concerned with Republicans across the aisle. I think that's very telling.
Yeah, we're her biggest enemy that she's proud of.
Yes, that needs to be broadcast everywhere. I think that says a lot about a person's character. Now, in going back to the debate, I thought Marco Rubio did very well. His big thing was talking about expanding the military budget so we could go in and attack ISIS there and work with people on the ground and destroy ISIS so that when we left, they have people there and something intact. How do you think Marco Rubio did?
I thought Marco Rubio did a great job. He's performed so well in all the debates. He and certainly they started setting up the Cruz-Rubio narrative. I felt like every question to Cruz had something to do with Rubio, and they were going back and forth a lot through the night, and they are rising in the polls. So that's helpful to see them contrast their records against each other and where they stand on things like national security. Marco had a great night. I thought all of them had a great night. I was so proud of our field. I walked away more certain than ever that one of them will be our next president and that our country will be finally led in a much better direction than the current White House is taking us and certainly than Hillary Clinton would take us.
And Rana, as we wrap up today, give us the dates on the Michigan primary and when we have a chance to register to vote if we haven't done so already.
I'll have to get back to you on the registration because I don't know the specifics on that. But March 8th is our primary. You do have to request a Republican or Democrat ballot when you go in to vote, just because the Democrats are also going to be utilizing the primary this time to select their delegates to their convention. In the past, they've used a different process, but they will be using the primary this time. So March 8th, it's very competitive. That's why we've had 27 visits from our candidates, and I expect we'll have them here a lot more. I encourage voters to go see them in person. It's much better than seeing them in a small bit on stage during a debate. Get to know them. spend time. There's ample opportunity to see them when they come to our state.
Ronna Romney McDaniel, the Michigan GOP chair, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Katie.
It's 7:41. You're listening to Katie Hyde filling in on The Steve Gruber Show.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Good morning. It's 7:33. This is Katie Hyde filling in on the Steve Gruber Show. It's great to have you with us. And with me on the line is Ronna Romney McDaniel. She's the Michigan GOP chair. Good morning, Ronna.
Good morning, Katie. Great to be here.
Great to have you. Now, I'm curious what your initial thoughts are of Tuesday's debate.
I thought all of our candidates presented very well. I felt like other debates, there have been a few standouts that have been obvious, and I felt like everybody showed well. I thought they had a grasp of the importance of national security. They understood the issue. They had much better plans on how to attack ISIS than our current president and certainly Hillary Clinton. So I gave the debate overall an A grade, and it was nice to not be talking about the debate moderators after the fact. CNN did a good job.
Yes, isn't that refreshing?
I know.
I was particularly impressed. I always am with Carly Fiorina. I wish she would have spoken more. I was saying the other day on the show, I wish more people would have gone after her because by the rules of the debate, then she can jump in. But she talked a lot about the private sector working with the government in terms of technology to help bring down the terrorists. What were your thoughts when she discussed that?
Well, it does show the contrast between the way Republicans solve problems right now and Democrats. And a lot of the Democrat solutions fall in expanding government. Let's have the government take on more responsibility, which, of course, we know creates bureaucracy and makes it more cumbersome and less likely, actually, to solve a problem. And so Carly's grasp of the private sector and its important role in solving problems and a key part of our economy, which is a market system, let competition be part of the system, will be more successful that way. I think that's a Republican principle that many agree with.
Many people had said that Rand Paul had a nice debate that night, and I happened to interview him when we were all up in Mackinac a couple months ago for the leadership conference. And I asked him, I said, you know, Michigan tends to be a Democrat state when they vote. He mentioned that he'd like to bring some jobs to Detroit, and that's how he wants to entice voters here. Who else on that stage do you think would represent Michigan well?
Well, I certainly think anybody who comes to Michigan is going to have a better shot. We've had 27 of our Republican candidates in Michigan since I've been chair. That lays a ground game for the general, for all of them to be investing that much time. And certainly as they come through our state, I talk to them about being here for the general and competing. And it does make them better suited to understand our state and what's happening, what our citizens are concerned about. And each of these candidates are coming here for town hall meetings, getting to know the voters, as opposed to Hillary Clinton, who's come here one time for a 500,000 fundraiser and no grassroots event. So I think that's the key, is being investing in Michigan. Michiganders recognize that. They appreciate people who are going to spend time in our state.
Did you see anybody else on the stage? I mentioned Carly Fiorina before. I wish I would have heard more from her. But anybody else that you wish you could have heard more from that you think has a lot to say or a lot to give Michigan voters?
Well, I do think the undercard debate was really good, actually, with Lindsey Graham and Huckabee and Santorum and Pataki. I think all of our candidates are doing a great job articulating their message, especially on national security, which is on the forefront of everybody's minds right now. The one thing I would say is it's important to watch these debates because, unlike the Democrats right now, we do have a difference on between our candidates on how to handle national security. They do have different plans. And voters should turn in and make sure that they're going to nominate somebody who aligns more closely with them. But I appreciate that they have a dialogue. I appreciate that we have differences of opinion within our party. I think that actually makes us govern better in the end.
Rana, I'm a journalist by trade, so I'm trying to hold back a little bit, but I might play my political commentator card right now. I slap my head a little bit sometimes when I look at who the Democrats are offering up, and I'll hear people get behind Hillary or Bernie, and I'm like, really? Are you serious? Like, these are the folks you can get behind? Does this make you chuckle, too, or am I just the only one?
Well, obviously, I'm not supporting them, but it's because of their policies. I mean, Hillary Clinton now has a record that we can look at. She just gave the president an A on his administration and his policies. That is horrific. President Obama has done nothing to make our country safer, more stable, more successful. He's done nothing to lift people out of poverty. We have 1 in 6 people right now in poverty. This has been a failure on every level. And for him to give him an A shows just how frightening she could be if she were our commander-in-chief. And, of course, one of the things that I hear about all the time, especially when I talk to young kids, is they're sick of the division. They're sick of the divisiveness. And when has Hillary Clinton ever united people? Has she ever brought people together? She said her enemy she's most proud of making is Republicans. I think that's frightening for a commander-in-chief to not be able to work across the aisle when we have huge issues that we have to tackle as a country, entitlement reform, tax reform, immigration reform, obviously national security. And to have a president going in saying that she basically can't stand the other party, I don't think that's leadership at all.
So we have ISIS trying to bring us down, a serious national threat, and she's concerned with Republicans across the aisle. I think that's very telling.
Yeah, we're her biggest enemy that she's proud of.
Yes, that needs to be broadcast everywhere. I think that says a lot about a person's character. Now, in going back to the debate, I thought Marco Rubio did very well. His big thing was talking about expanding the military budget so we could go in and attack ISIS there and work with people on the ground and destroy ISIS so that when we left, they have people there and something intact. How do you think Marco Rubio did?
I thought Marco Rubio did a great job. He's performed so well in all the debates. He and certainly they started setting up the Cruz-Rubio narrative. I felt like every question to Cruz had something to do with Rubio, and they were going back and forth a lot through the night, and they are rising in the polls. So that's helpful to see them contrast their records against each other and where they stand on things like national security. Marco had a great night. I thought all of them had a great night. I was so proud of our field. I walked away more certain than ever that one of them will be our next president and that our country will be finally led in a much better direction than the current White House is taking us and certainly than Hillary Clinton would take us.
And Rana, as we wrap up today, give us the dates on the Michigan primary and when we have a chance to register to vote, if we haven't done so already.
I'll have to get back to you on the registration because I don't know the specifics on that. But March 8th is our primary. You do have to request a Republican or Democrat ballot when you go in to vote, just because the Democrats are also going to be utilizing the primary this time to select their delegates to their convention. In the past, they've used a different process, but they will be using the primary this time. So March 8th, it's very competitive. That's why we've had 27 visits from our candidates, and I expect we'll have them here a lot more. I encourage voters to go see them in person. It's much better than seeing them in a small bit on stage during a debate. Get to know them, spend time. There's ample opportunity to see them when they come to our state.
Rana Romney McDaniel, the Michigan GOP chair, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Katie.
It's 7:41. You're listening to Katie Hyde filling in on The Steve Gruber Show.